have here on the agenda 7A, resolution concerning program council's time change. I would rule this out of order and say that we should talk about it under the proper agenda point. Finished.
I will agree that it should come under that discussion, even though it's a question of diversity, which is not what he's addressing. So let's just, I think that should be part of the discussion on 7A.
May I have just one opportunity to defend my belief that it is relevant in that he is talking about...
Do you have a quick answer to his question, Jim?
No, I'm sorry. This is not a quick answer question or an issue. I'm just simply relating this to Jim's discussion of the impact on the listeners. And I'm simply asking him not to go in any detail, but simply comment on whether or not there needs to be additional time devoted to this particular question.
Can you answer that briefly?
Well, I totally agree with you that that is another area that we need to carefully consider with most things at KPFA. And when you're talking about a comprehensive survey, you're talking about things that take that into account as well. And they're not just specified with this particular programming aspect of KPFA.
Thank you.
So Max and then Carol, any other comments, questions of Jim from the LSB? Okay.
I would like to remind the general manager that in the future he should submit his reports in writing days before the meeting. You've laid on us a number of arguments against the change. And may I note, by the way, that in the past we have made changes at the nation, at the station. We never had surveys. We never had the financial impact analysis. So let's be straightforward about that here, okay? But in the future, please submit your reports in writing before the LSB meeting. Thank you.
I just want to respond by saying that I was not able to write anything while I was away in New York, so I did that as soon as I got back. I wrote it this morning. I do have it to submit to Mary Bishop, so it will be part of the notes, and you'll be able to review them. But I apologize for not being able to get them to you sooner.
All right, I have Sarv and Steve. Did you have your hand up? No, yeah, it was Carol and Steve and then Sarv.
Jim, as part of the national finance package that came out of national office last week, we're now getting monthly balance sheets, and that's a big improvement on the information we have about the station finances. And I noticed that in the one that just came out, a new line item has appeared showing in the long-term debt about roughly $126,000 for legal debts at KPFA. It wasn't there the month before. If it's not confidential matters, could you tell us if you know what it is? And if it is confidential matters, could you tell us confidentially some other time?
Okay, what I will tell you is that it's not specifically related to KPFA, but has to do with some of the outstanding litigation that Pacifica was involved in.
All right, could I make a follow-up question? They're charging KPFA about 5 or 6 times more than any other station. Do you know why that is?
What we have been told is that we will be charged an equivalent amount to KPFK and theoretically WBAI, but I doubt seriously whether WBAI is able financially to deal with that at this particular time.
Then I'm going to follow up on that, because it's about $126,000 for KPFA. If my memory serves me correctly, it's about $36,000 for K. So we need to look at this.
I don't like that.
Yeah, okay, thanks.
Okay, good. Steve and then Sarv, am I right? And then hopefully we can move on.
Yes, I was just going to suggest, Jim, if you can include in your reports as well, some of the things I'd like to hear about are more of the overview of the station and the departments and the issues related to them. For example, the apprenticeship program, how they're doing programs and those issues. Let me finish 1 second here. And as well as the financial health of the station and those issues, as opposed to spending most of the time talking about an issue in which is on the agenda in other ways and doesn't really give us an opportunity to respond to you in that area, but I would encourage you to stick around for those areas and perhaps input as well so that we can then ask questions and engage in some conversations about those issues. So I would just like to see a report that more reflects about things internally with the station that gives us a good idea and an introduction for many of the new members about how the systems work and how the health of it is and what concerns you're having in terms of the station, so we understand what your problematic issues are, what some of your goals are, and what some of your concerns are, and what some of the efforts that we can help with in terms of supporting the station as well.
I just wanted to say that my understanding was that this was a special meeting and not the regular meeting of the local station board, so I thought that what I was to report on was the specific things that you were going to be discussing today, which is why I made my report what it was. But normally what I would do in the context of the regular meeting of the board would be to present a report of the nature that you described.
Good. Sir?
I think I concur with Jim that this was a special meeting, and I know there's a lot of other items that have crept in here, and I hope that we try to make sure in future that if there's a special meeting, that that particular item is addressed and not all this other kitchen sink and everything else in there. So in addition, if people at the board are submitting some reports that need immediate action of some kind of motion, the resolution, that they submit that 1 week ahead of time prior to the commencement of this board so that people who had ample time to look at and think through what they're voting on, not at the last minute those motions are submitted.
Okay, LeVar.
Just want to update. The preliminary budget was submitted 2 weeks ago. It was online. I gave hard copies, but we did update it some on Friday after I talked with Eileen. So it's been there to look at, review. So I just want to, like, put that little part in because Max and the Finance Committee have worked really hard on that, and we got it out, and it was available for review. Thank you.
Move the agenda.
Okay. So it looks like we're up to Tomas. And, again, the idea is the 10 minutes will include time for questioning, so if you can fit that into your presentation.
Thank you, Reva, and thanks to the LSB for allowing me a few minutes to talk to you. There's a lot in my mind, but I'm going to first read what I prepared as a two-minute statement. I didn't know if I was going to get to speak outside of public comment, so I prepare my remarks for a two-minute statement. I'll follow it up with a couple of remarks, maybe 5 minutes, and then I can take questions or just sit down at that point. Okay. This debate about moving two programs around has been going on for nearly a year. It has consumed the better parts of three of your meetings, plus countless hours in between. A change as minor as this should not paralyze the first radio station in this country dedicated to giving voice to the people. It should not be the source of conflict so great, so intense, that it precipitates the resignation of a general manager. Something is terribly wrong. I talk with many KPFA listeners, people who elected you. Listener shakes their head at this situation. It is not that complicated, they say. KPFA listeners are not going to freak out because two programs swap slots in the morning. We will see it as an experiment. We will let you know and the station know what we think. For some, it'll bring some benefits. For others, it'll be upsetting and they would prefer it otherwise. It is important to hear the listeners' opinions, but don't expect that you can set up a valid survey in a short time to give you input and direction in this issue. A valid and useful survey is not born out of the need to referee one particular battle, but rather out of the commitment to truly assess the community needs and to listen to the results. In order to start down that path, you must put this matter behind you and focus on coming together as a board, and a board that can help the station grow. As far as financial impact, no one at KPFA or Pacifica has the experience or the information to accurately predict the financial impact of such a move. I discuss matters of finance and audience size with many people across my time in Pacifica, and there's lack of understanding even of the data that exists in the form of Arbitron and existing donations, let alone to speculate about the swapping of two programs in the morning. For example, the audience that you might pick up at 7 o'clock might more than counteract the people that you lose at 9. I know that change is difficult for the staff, and that the new listener influence inside the station is changing all dynamics. But I believe this is ultimately for the good. The lack of radio production experience in the listener community will be balanced by our love of what Pacifica and KPFA should be. Please do not fear this change. It is entirely reasonable to ask if Democracy Now! Would ultimately do more good by being broadcast at the same AM. Why the agony over it? Instead, try to understand what the goal of the move is and set out to measure it. Set out to implement a real feedback system for the station. Invest in helping the morning show staff get creative about how to best address a new time slot. And help them find new opportunities, new energy. Help your own LSB operate in a more effective manner that can actually get KPFA to grow. These are the activities that produce real long-term progress. End the paralysis of the station and get us moving forward. Get an oar and start rowing. In the absence of oars, get a piece of wood or use your hands. There is no time to waste. If we allow small decisions to take up the better part of a year, how long will it take us to change this country? How long to get health care universally available? To end hunger or to house the unhoused? To end the war? I believe that the mission of this organization, if implemented fully, will help us live in a better society. You were elected because you express the same belief. Your actions should reflect this belief and this urgency. Please start moving on the big issues. I also want to say a personal statement about my own view on this. I catch pieces of the morning show and Democracy Now! Depending on my morning work commitments. I can tell you that I often find myself sitting in my car at 9:15, unable to go into my office because I need to finish hearing a segment of Democracy Now! So I understand that dynamic. There was one case recently when Juan Gonzalez was interviewing Amy from the air, accompanying Aristide back. I also have to tell you, I give up now about 1/8 of the amount to KPFA and Pacifica that I gave during the 91 to 99 years, the years 1991 through 1999. And I will return to my 1999 levels when I see that the station is investing the resources of the listener in moving forward with the business that we need to do. So what are the big issues? One, a functional and sustainable listener feedback process to include surveys and other mechanisms to elicit listener feedback. Second, a mechanism to receive unsolicited listener comments and complaints and to direct them appropriately. This can be achieved in a timeline by September. I would say this is a 6 to 8 month project, but there's a lot of work that's been done, one of the many unfinished projects that we left in the middle of the other fight. Second, a functional and sustainable process to deliver feedback to the staff and programmers. There is none now. So even if you collect all this information, there is no effective way of getting that back to the programming staff. Third, a commitment by you, the LSB, to work at your own internal processes. You are a large board, and it would be even difficult for an experienced set of new LSB members to handle this size board. You know, by my estimates, you're spending about 80% of your time on rehashing process issues that would just vanish if you got yourself some training and worked at some mechanisms of getting the board process in line. And lastly, but dear to my heart, an effective measurement system that will allow future decisions to be based on real information rather than speculation. Thank you.
Understanding. So, Willie first.
Yes, Thomas. I'm sorry.
Thomas, I'm extremely intrigued by your decision to reduce your financial contributions to one-eighth of the 1999 contribution. What I want to do is to see if we cannot make some kind of generalizations about that perhaps affecting other people as well. I mean, other people feeling the same thing. And not that we have data to support it, but apparently it had to be the product of a sentiment you were feeling. Clearly we know the early part of it had to do with the chaos on the board. Currently, however, you have not yet, even after maybe a year or so after we have begun our election and started the process, you have not yet returned. And do you think that there is anything generalizable from your own personal experiences about that reduction?
That's a great question. Absolutely. And I tell you that from direct communication with, I would estimate, hundreds of listeners that I've come in contact with over the last 6 to 8 months. And in one-on-one or one-on-group conversations about some of the dynamics that are still happening, people just shake their heads about thinking about putting real money back into a station and a process that's not functioning. It just doesn't work. The evidence for the money being out there and available is clear. When KPFA said that we needed the money in the early part of the struggle, the contributions went up by 25 to 50% in a couple of consecutive things. The money is out there on the listeners. The listeners are willing to put it in, but they're not willing to dump it down the drain. And I can assure you that the money will be there to help buy oars for people if we find that you're paddling with your hands, but we got to see you paddling in the right direction.
Okay, Howard.
As a person that has a very hard time expressing myself, I thank you for your words. I agreed perfectly with everything you said, and I appreciate you being able to say it succinctly. Thank you.
I agree. Thank you. Lisa?
Tomas, in what I, in a lot of what I heard you say, it was the importance of, in a lot of what I heard you say, it was the importance of being able to move on. And I am interested in moving on also, but I'm not hearing in what you're saying the strategy by which I want to hear where also staff experience is respected and acknowledged.
I think absolutely moving together forward, I think, you know, understanding that nobody has the data, the information, the knowledge to make this decision with any more information that we have, I would treat it as an experiment. Just move forward, but make the commitment at the same time to measure the results. Say what you're trying to achieve. If you're trying to achieve getting the word of democracy now to a larger audience, then make the commitment to measure that. If you're anticipating a loss of revenue, then measure that. Nobody. I can tell you, I've talked to all the way to the people who were treasurer and purported to read the Arbitrum reports. Nobody knows how to read them enough to give you this kind of an answer, this kind of resolution about swapping these two programs in the morning. It's just not going to be there. So you're going to have to treat it as an experiment. And then make the commitment across all of you that, yes, staff experience is respected, but it also needs to be based on real information, on real data. Ultimately, we need to test our assumptions against what really happens. So.
Okay. Thank you. All right.
Thank you.
Carol.
Wait a minute.
Oh, another question?
Question.
Tomas, you said in passing that the station isn't really functional. And, you know, that's new information for many people. We turn on the radio and we hear valuable programming and we love the station and we send money. But this board is charged with seeing that it's functional. And I wonder if you could just maybe say in 2 minutes or less what kind of functionality or dysfunctionality you think we need to address?
Well, you know, I think all of us as volunteers and people who care very much about the mission of the station come into it with, you know, a great deal of respect and trying to see all the good things about the station. We all know that everything has some flaws, but we all come in looking at that. Part of the downfall or part of the consequence of being on the board for those years and being inside the station, you begin to see a lot of the process behind the scenes. And in a organization that's in struggle fighting with its parent organization, you naturally see some of that. But this goes beyond that in terms of the processes within the station itself, the way that staff relates to volunteers, the way that listeners relate to staff, the lack of feedback mechanisms and of mechanisms to convey that feedback to the... It's just structurally, you can't have an organization that purports to have the mission that we do without those things in place. It just doesn't work. So that is clearly the first thing that needs to be fixed. Everything else is gonna. I don't blame that on any one individual. I'm a believer in systems and processes, and right now there's a system inside of the station that supports that. We've all gone through a lot. The station has gone through a lot. The staff has gone through a lot. Everybody. So we need to say those processes that are in place were the processes of the past, and we need to move with the right. Vision to create how this kind of station should work. And these entities that I talked about, these processes of feedback to the listeners, of measuring, are just basic processes for an organization that purports to have our values.
Okay, thank you. I'd like to note Fadi's here, William's here, and Debbie was excused. So everybody else is present, correct? Excellent,
yes.
Thank you all. We're 45 minutes behind schedule. Let's see how it goes. We gave ourselves an hour for public comment. There are 27 people. Somebody just added?
No,
I subtracted Tomas. He was one of the 28. I don't think he needs another shot at it. All right, so please, really, let's move on. Let's see how we can do this. Line up, 2 minutes each. Robin Reynolds is first, and then Jim Weber. Good question.
My name is Robin Reynolds, and I'm not a super long-term listener. I'm a member of the Berkeley Fellowship, and Hal has been a member since like 1948 or something. But I've been listening since about the 70s, early 70s, when I grew up in Berkeley. And I'm a public affairs junkie. That's my interest. I listen probably to about 12 or 14 hours worth of KPFA every day. I'm here mainly to talk about this proposed change, which I had heard about some time ago. And, you know, I think no matter what you do, you're going to make enemies, and you guys got to make the best decision that you can. I downloaded our schedule, and there's a lot of real gems in this schedule. But to me, there are three programs that are just absolutely priceless: Flashpoint, Hard Knock Radio, and Democracy Now. And I think some things bear repeating. And Democracy Now is definitely one of them. It is the most important show on the air anywhere, bar none. And, you know, if Michael Krasny has the audacity to rebroadcast that piece of junk show that he does, I do not understand why we have so much trouble with giving 2 hours to Amy Goodman. And I think we should consider doing it to Flashpoints, too. Now, I get up, I work at 7 in the morning. I get up early and usually, 30 seconds left, and usually I get a chance to hear it at 6 in the morning. You know, there are times that I don't do that. Like if I ride my bike to work or something like that and I can't hear it, then I get to hear it again at 9. It's absolutely essential stuff. That's my feeling. Who's next?
You're around? There you are. Sorry, right there.
Reba, I appreciate again that you asked for respect tonight. I hope you do better today than you did last time. not blaming you. I'm blaming the people that were disrespectful. I also sincerely that the board will prove that I'm a suspicious fool, and my concerns are false. But I know that KPFA has enemies. The same people that corrupted the Pacifica board are here and around available to corrupt this board. Plus, that's the enemies on the right. And on the left, there are other enemies. Over the last couple of years, I've experienced a lot of them at different meetings involved that are advertised on KPFA. And there are people that are hostile to KPFA. Those of you who are on the LAB know that they were always there screaming and yelling, complaining about KPFA. And I don't know if any of you ever, anybody in the station ever realized what was happening there. And I could never find out who they were and what they were up to. And I've done a lot of investigation in the last couple of years, and I've discovered some things I'd like to share with you. First, I want to go back to 50 years ago when KPFA first started during the McCarthy witch hunt. I was a victim of that witch hunt. And that witch hunt is very similar to the one we have now. And there, at that time, there was a left-wing radical organization that wanted to overthrow the capitalist system by force and violence and install a dictatorship. Now, they are still around. I went to one of their conventions recently, and I found out a lot about them. I know what they're up to. I've given each one of you a copy of this thing, which outlines some of the things I've discovered about the violent left that is out to get KPFA. And on the back side, I've got a scorecard. If anybody wants to keep track of who possibly on the board is a problem, you can do that.
Okay, thanks, Jim. Jim, could you bring the mic to Larry over here or somebody? Or thanks. Oh, and then Susan Schacken is next.
I'm Larry Buckhalter, unpaid staff organization. I'd like to request that the board consider having committees have two different ways of verifying communications that go on during meetings, by having a recording secretary writing down the notes by hand, and also having some kind of tape recording. So in case of any discrepancy between or any kind of problems that people may be having in terms of getting ideas across and communicating them to the board, some kind of reasonable way we can have a verification of tone of voice and just the communication process. I think that would be very helpful for all the committees and for the LSB to be able to verify that people, and also that people are notified in the station, so that one group of people in the station or another group won't be able to say, well, we weren't notified of a particular meeting. And I think that's important. Thank you.
Thank you. Okay, Susan, and then Mariah.
Hi, my name is Susan Chassin. I'm a listener. I was active at KPFK during the first round of the gag rule. I volunteered on the Women's Coalition, which put on Feminist Magazine. I was part of the Labor for KPFA and demonstrated in a lot of the rest. I'm currently volunteering with the Labor Collective, and I help produce programming on May Day, which, by the way, I want to thank the station staff, especially Susan Stone, Erica Bridgman, Max Pringle, Vinnie Beecham, for the openness that they've had toward the Labor Collective and helping us develop expertise. I'm speaking this afternoon for myself and also my recently wedded spouse for life of 16 years, and I am very much opposed to the change of the morning show to a later time frame. I'm a passionate fan of Democracy Now, and I mostly like flashpoints, but I get burned out on the international and national public affairs stuff. I want local news. I want access to local arts. I want a variety of voices. And my understanding about what we fought for in taking the station back was to have the availability of local programming. I think diversity is a big issue in this because the morning show provides a place for people to come around from local schools, local projects, organizers, talking about issues. And if I don't hear that, I don't get that anywhere else either. I actually can go to the web and listen to Democracy Now! Or get the printouts or the CDs, and that's wonderful. And I also have found myself sitting in the car waiting for the last segment if I didn't catch it at 6:45 or whatever it was. But I don't think that we'll be able to repair the damage. And that I disagree with Tomas, although I agree with his thing about feedback. If that's not in place, why would we make this change now? If we don't know what the current situation and support is, we haven't had a chance to tell Andrea and Philip changes that they need to make, because it's not a perfect show. But I do think that we would be losing a great deal and that everybody wouldn't come back. So I just hope you'll listen if you haven't already made up your mind.
Thanks, Mariah, and then Nick Alexander.
Nick.
It's Mariah. Mariah, you're on next. And then Nick.
Hi, everybody. Mariah Gilardin. I feel I'm in a slow motion nightmare, and I can't believe that this is actually so. The reason I feel that way. There are two main reasons for it. One is we finally created a program council that was actually beginning to be seen by other Pacifica stations and community stations as a really exemplary effort that could be copied. And I was so happy that KPFA sort of got out of its political slumber and for the first time within Pacifica took a semblance of a leadership role, because people liked the idea that there were community members on the program council. They liked the idea that people who came to the council were elected. They liked the idea that these folks got together and created among themselves a procedure that was making program changes possible. They liked the idea that this secret thing was now publishing minutes, that it was beginning to meet at night. So all these wonderful steps taken now, according to some of you who I spoke to, shall be reversed altogether. You want to go back to even considering whether this is a good idea and make a new program council up. So that's one. The other nightmarish feeling was when Jim stood up and read the financial report, the section about the financial impact. And by the way, I also agree with Tomas. It's really, we don't have the tools to exactly predict what it's going to do. So the financial reports are used like a political football. The main authors of this financial report were part of the decision to move Democracy Now! And they didn't speak then. Phil Osegueda was on the board. He didn't speak then. He didn't raise his financial questions. Jim was there. Jim was on program council as interim PD. He didn't raise these concerns. They're being raised now. That's a very, very nightmarish aspect too. Why? Why do they come up now? And the total irony is that among the people who decided to make this switch, there was one, they all had different reasons, but there was one reason that they all had in common, and that was that this switch would bring more money to the station. And if it was a guess now, it's a certainty. If it was a guess then, it's a certainty now, after Amy's amazingly successful national tour. The stations that I know other than KPFA derive a major portion of their operating budget from Democracy Now! It's a no-brainer. Many stations would not be able to survive. So I'm urging you as board members who have an obligation to support the station and bring in money to the station, not to be made afraid by people who say it might lose. It's a red herring.
Yeah, I'm Nick Alexander, and I'm a representative on program council from the unpaid staff. I'm also running for that position again. We're having our election, the unpaid staff, and we're having a meeting on June 10th. Put that on your calendar. Anyway, I support the change, and for several reasons. One, positive aspects of bringing more working people into listening Democracy Now, especially in the coming period where there's war and the possibility of fascism coming to the United States, and we need to mobilize people. The possibility that it can bring in more money to the station with that move as a net gain, and the possibility of opening up the 6 to 7 to new kinds of programming, bilingual programming, bringing in communities that are not listening to KPFA. People from immigrant communities are heavily involved in the struggles for social justice, and they can be an important part of the station. And I think we need to start thinking more and more about bilingual and monolingual programming from 6 to 7 as a way to shore up that decision. But perhaps the most important thing is the issue of democracy and the fact that it was a democratically arrived at decision, and that it's important for us to adhere to that in order to preserve the integrity of the deliberations of program council. You know, in the last year, the democracy that we've had has been an important way that we have done many other changes. We've worked with the labor collective, we work with the Middle Eastern collective, we work with other collectives in a give-and-take fashion with them and with our colleagues in trying to create new contracts for new shows as well as special programming. So I urge you to support that change and hope that we continue the discussions of fundraising. There are alternative ways of raising funds. It doesn't have to be the traditional ways. I'm talking about building ties with the communities by having remote public broadcasts, passing the hat, and all kinds of other things. So let me close here.
Thanks a lot. Okay, Stan, and then Chris. Chris. Okay.
Yeah, I'm Stan Woods, former member of the local advisory board, current member of the program council. Well, we're finally down to the nitty-gritty of whether or not the station board will respect the democratic decision of the program council. I emphasize decision because on the card announcing this meeting, it incorrectly said proposal. It wasn't a proposal. It was a decision. You know, the overwhelming factor in our decision was the overwhelming popularity of Democracy Now! And the desirability, the need, I would say, to put our most popular show on the most listened to hour. The second most important factor is what Nick Alexander talked about, the need to open up 10 hours of programming. Good God, once we've officially, unofficially, we've already gotten many proposals for urban, working class, youth-oriented programming, many types of programming. Once we officially, if the board passes this and we can officially announce it, we'll have a wealth, we'll have a treasure of proposals that we can shift through. I'd also like to talk about what we didn't do. The morning show, all due respect, like Susan Sachin from the Labor Council mentioned, is still going forward. We're not eliminating the morning show. It's simply going to begin the second most listened to hour being moved from the first most listened to hour. It will be on from 8 to 10. I'm sure they can compete against Michael Krasny and others from 9 to 10, and also the weak Democratic Party owned and operated, what's the name of it, Air America, after the CIA subsidiary airline in the Southeast Asia. Great name. I would also like to talk about the financial impact. It's funny, it's sort of disingenuous, it's being raised now. It was never, no data was presented to us during the months of discussion. None. A couple other points. I appreciate what the first speaker, I'm sorry I forgot his name today, stated about, well, of course you want Democracy Now! Repeated. We certainly do. Many of us would like to see it repeated in the evening. So if you can get this, if we can get through this hurdle, then we can start, hopefully not five-year plan, the lobby to get it on to replay it in the evening. So we're certainly not, it will temporarily reduce the amount of time it's on, but not permanently. So please respect our decision. I mentioned this before, but if we would have lost the decision, lost the vote, c'est la vie. We respect the democratic process. We hope the board will too. Thank you.
Claudia?
Hi, I'm Chris Daly. I want to support the motion put forth by Moni Tattersall and I believe Bonnie Simmons for a listener survey and to review some more data. I don't think in any way that reviewing more data is in any way a bad idea. In some sense, Thomas Moran makes a lot of good sense in where he says we need more listener feedback, we need more things to tell us what's going on, and so I don't see how not having a listener survey will allow us to make those kind of decisions. I had a few disagreements with Mr. Moran as far as the thought is this should be thought of as an experiment, or I mean anything can be thought of as an experiment or that doesn't have a 100% certainty, but to think of this as an experiment and we wait to see what the results are, so in 3 months down the line, 6 months down the line, when the results are in, if we are in fact losing money, do we switch back to the old format? That's not quite the way that I think that radio should be programmed. I think that people would rather have a steady decision as their steady state as to what's coming on and not have to worry 3 months whether their schedule is going to change again. And this, as far as not knowing whether this is going to be a loss or a win, well, again, no one knows, but you as a board and we as a station have to make decisions based on imperfect data all the time. The best thing to do sometimes is just to get more data. If you don't know, then you're missing a really big part of the process because one of the reasons for which the general manager can refuse a program council recommendation is if he knows that it's going to cause serious financial harm. If he doesn't know, if we don't have the tools to know this, then he can't make a decision based on that. So to say you don't know puts us in a quandary because then the general manager doesn't know whether he is allowed to refuse this recommendation or not. Thank you very much.
Claudia, and then Gail Barrett.
Hi, my name is Claudia Castro, and I have to say that first off, I've been Democracy Now! Is like probably my favorite show, and because of it, I invest like my money and I don't get cable or newspapers or magazines. I invest my money to support KPFA. So I'd absolutely love and be greatly disappointed if it isn't repeated at some time in the day, and it's kind of bothers me that that's not being talked about. And also, I'm happy with how the scheduling is right now. As long as it's repeated, then I wouldn't have a problem. But, thank you.
Thank you. Gail, and then Andy Berna-Hicks.